What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
AT&T may fold on its big bet on its entertainment partnership with Warner Media. Plus the return of stock buybacks and dividends.
Well, it's effectively a statement of corporate confidence.
And President Biden wants to make community college free. We'll look at the headwinds that plan faces. It's Monday, May 17th. I'm Keith Collins, filling in for Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. AT&T is in discussions to combine Warner Media with Discovery. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Discovery owns channels including the Food Network, while Warner owns channels including CNN and HBO. The deal could be a U-turn on AT&T's bet on the media industry when it bought the Warner properties in 2018. AT&T's talks with Discovery, which likely value Warner Media at well over $50 billion, including debt, could lead to an agreement today, though the talks could still fall apart, said people familiar with the matter. We're exclusively reporting Microsoft directors decided that co-founder Bill Gates needed to step down from the company's board last year. The decision came as board members were investigating a past romantic relationship between Gates and a female Microsoft employee that was deemed inappropriate. A Microsoft spokesman said a board committee, which was aided by an outside law firm, looked into a concern raised by an employee in 2019. Gates stepped down in March 2020 before the investigation was completed, according to a person familiar with the matter. A spokeswoman for Gates said there was an affair that ended amicably almost 20 years ago, and the matter was unrelated to his decision to resign. The CDC has clarified its guidelines for wearing masks after many expressed confusion when the agency announced updated guidance last week. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said masks will still be required in some circumstances, and unvaccinated people should continue to wear them. Last Thursday, the CDC advised that vaccinated people don't need to wear masks outdoors or indoors, except in specific circumstances. State health officials had criticized the guidance, saying they would be difficult to implement and could undermine statewide mask mandates. Palestinian officials say at least 42 people were killed in an Israeli airstrike on an apartment complex in Gaza Sunday, marking the deadliest day of the week-long conflict between the Israeli military and Hamas militants. Israel said the strike was part of a massive operation against underground tunnels used by Gaza militants, which caused the apartments above to collapse. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu ruled out an immediate ceasefire, defying international demands for de-escalation and mediation efforts by other countries. Here's the Journal's Jared Malson.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said this over the weekend that the operation is going to continue for now. He didn't even put a timeline on how long it's going to take. He just said they're going to fight until security is restored. Right now, there's no indication that a ceasefire is coming. The violence continued this morning with more airstrikes carried out by the Israeli armed forces in Gaza. However, there is an American mediator, a senior State Department official, Hadi Amar, who is in the region and speaking with Israeli and Palestinian leaders as we speak in an effort to achieve a de-escalation.
In Gaza, more than 198 people have been killed since last week, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry. In Israel, 11 people have been killed, according to its Emergency Response Service and military. Bitcoin fell in the wake of a tweet by Tesla CEO Elon Musk, which prompted speculation that the electric vehicle maker had sold or would sell its holdings of the cryptocurrency. Musk later tweeted that Tesla hadn't sold any Bitcoin. In China, the pace of economic activity slowed last month, complicating the country's recovery from the depths of the pandemic. Official data showed consumer spending remained soft, with retail sales falling short of expectations. In the U.S., companies' stock buybacks and dividends have been roaring back this year. Let's take a look at what's behind this drive to return capital to shareholders with WSJ Markets editor Quentin Webb in Hong Kong. Good morning, Quentin.
Good morning.
So, Quentin, what has spurred this sharp rise in returning cash to investors?
Well, it's effectively a statement of corporate confidence. Last year,
when things were extremely uncertain, it was rational for companies to hoard cash. And in fact, cash balances rose to something like $1.9 trillion. And now that the economy is clawing its way back to normalcy, it is perhaps rational to return some of that to shareholders, be that through dividends and be that through share buybacks.
And what are some possible drawbacks to these big share repurchases, both for companies and for investors?
Well, I would say there are several potential drawbacks. One is that for companies, if they're engaging in buybacks, one key question, of course, should be, are you buying back stock at a good level or are you buying back overpriced stock? I.e., is there some better use of proceeds out there? Could that money be better reinvested into your own business? A second consideration, this one for shareholders, is whether, you know, sometimes the criticism is that buybacks allow executives to make it easier to hit their compensation targets, for example, by reducing the amount of shares outstanding and thus making it easier to hit earnings per share targets. So I think shareholders should be on watch for instances of that. And a third question perhaps is a political one, which is that in the past, sometimes huge amounts of buybacks have proven politically controversial. There is a sense sometimes that that money would be better reinvested into growing businesses. And these huge amounts of buybacks could potentially add some fresh flame to that controversy.
Quentin Webb in Hong Kong, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Coming up after the break, we look at the prospects for President Biden's plan to make tuition free at community colleges.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
As part of his $1.8 trillion American Families Plan, President Biden is proposing to make community college tuition-free. It represents a broader belief among Democrats that higher education can be an engine for social mobility and economic growth. But the proposal is being met with some concerns and criticism. WSC reporter Josh Mitchell discussed some of these issues with our Mark Stewart.
So, Josh, student debt continues to be at record high levels. Most of that debt has been racked up at four-year colleges. So why is the Biden administration focusing on free tuition for community colleges?
So one of the things that we've seen in our economy over the past 20 years or so is there's been a very big diversion in the fortunes of people who have a four-year degree and those who don't. And so in some ways, higher education, which was supposed to be the great equalizer, has kind of become the great unequalizer. And so what the Biden administration wants to do is it wants to say we still believe in college as a way to level the playing field. We just need to get more people into it. So right now, about half of the adult population in the United States has an associate degree or higher. He wants the other half to get in on that as well. And these two-year public colleges are open admission schools, so you don't need, you know, high test scores or high GPAs to get in. And they really do think, they really feel strongly that community colleges offer an opportunity to, you know, blue-collar workers, people who didn't go to, you know, fancy private high schools, to really have an opportunity to make it in the workforce.
There's already been a lot of criticism launched against this plan, starting with the dropout rates among community college students. How does this plan address that?
Well, two things. So he wants to make college tuition free so that students basically don't have to take as much of a risk when they do enroll. Because yes, there are high dropout rates. And so one of the issues that's happened, you mentioned student debt, is that a lot of people take on student debt, they don't get the degree they wanted to get, and so they're worse off. They can't really get a job that requires a college degree, and yet they have student debt that they have to pay down, but they don't have the income to pay it down with. So in one sense, he's trying to cut the risk that students end up, you know, with debt, but without the credential to get a good job. There is also this argument that advocates of free college make, which is that money in and of itself is one reason why people don't enroll or why people drop out. And so if you ease the financial burden, if you tell people it's free, they're more likely to enroll because they just won't be scared of taking on student debt. And if something comes up, you know, if their mother gets sick, they can, you know, they might have a little extra money to help out, you know, back home versus having to drop out and get a job in order to do that.
Finally, let's look at the funding. President Biden is proposing that the federal government will cover 3/4 of the tuition costs as long as the state legislature agrees to cover the rest. Where do you see this plan getting the most pushback? In D.C., on the state level, or both?
Both. You know, I think on the state level is probably the biggest obstacle, at least from my vantage point. And I think this could turn into a really big ideological discussion here. I think you have a lot of Republican leaders in different states who are going to say, you know, wait a minute, we want to have, you know, people in D.C. funding, you know, providing most of the funding for our state schools. There could be this fear or this contention from the right that this will lead to a Washington takeover of schools in their states. I was just talking with John Sununu in New Hampshire, and that's the first thing he said was, I would never go along with this because this would lead to a Washington takeover of community colleges in our state.
The WSJ's Josh Mitchell. Josh, thanks for sharing your reporting with us on this.
Sure, thanks.
And finally, there's a new time for rush hour. While morning traffic is still below pre-pandemic levels for much of the country, afternoon traffic has come roaring back in some places, and the suburbs are feeling the brunt. As many people continue to work from home, it's much easier to pop out for errands. Add in the school run, some tourist traffic, increased deliveries, and the roads fill up quickly. One of the people we spoke to said they've been stuck in traffic within 2 or 3 miles of their house near Tampa, Florida. But for some locals, there is one surefire way to beat the congestion. A boat. And that's What's News for Monday. We're back tonight with a new show. Until then, check in with us on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Keith Collins, filling in for Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.